With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Castology.
What do you think would happen if I didn't start the episode the way that we normally do?
You did very well there.
you're just bringing ghosts of boyfriends past
into
it.
I know.
Like, what do you think is like the weirdest sex thing that anyone's ever done on a podcast?
That's often how I open ghosts of boyfriends past. No, well, I just sometimes I get bored with our hello and welcome kind of. And I'm just like, yeah, what if we just like start chatting at the top of a podcast and then introduce ourselves?
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm Liz Best. I am one of your castologists, and here at Castology, we recommend and review podcasts. I'm also here with
Zane C.C. Weber
and
Nick Bleeker.
And this is what we do. We listen to podcasts. We love podcasts. See, we got both of them in. Like, we'll have a bit of a chat.
I wasn't criticizing this technique. I was just pointing it out.
I just wanted to mix it up. I did think about telling you before we went on mic, but then that would be boring.
Sometimes format breaking can be freaky, but sometimes it can be energizing.
Which is it today?
Don't know.
I'll tell you later. Yeah. So we are going to do what we do every single week, which is each one of us is going to recommend a podcast to each other and to you. And then we're going to review the podcast that we brought last week. And we have a theme this week.
We do have a theme.
The theme is education. I don't know why I said it like that, but it makes me sound very
smart.
Education. So, yeah, it's a kind of anything that comes under the education banner, I guess. And I would like to hear what Zane has to say first.
Interesting.
Why?
I don't know.
Good point, well made.
I have recommended a podcast called For the Love of Teaching. So For the Love of Teaching is actually part of a teacher aid service that provides materials on curriculum for teachers in Australia.
Oh, cool.
So primary teachers. So they're run from a website called Teach Starter. Their podcast is basically their members, who are also teachers and what have you, talking about things that they want to teach about, or things that happen in the classroom, or problems that happen in the classroom. So there are some episodes like about mindful teaching, or how to teach about body safety, consent and boundaries, that sort of thing. But also then like Halloween or curious creatures, or like book recommendations that you can focus on in class, and what a class can get from certain things. So this is definitely aimed at teachers and those who work with kids.
Right.
Okay.
Even parents. The reason I recommended it is because I liked listening to it. I found it really infectious, because everyone on this podcast is super enthusiastic about teaching and how to bring new and interesting things to the classroom. One of the things that they complain about a lot is how difficult it is to keep kids' attention and stop them from going off tangent. And that's what this podcast really aims to do, is like giving them resources to bring into the classroom to keep children's attention on them. So I found it really interesting just to listen to, even from a layperson standard. Now, I am a big fan of educational podcasts.
Yeah.
So I thought that I would bring in a podcast for educators.
Yeah, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
so that
good.
Is For the Love of Teaching.
Any particular episodes you'd like us to listen to?
I recommended one on my little thing called Favorite Rude Reads for Kids.
Right.
Because that's a fun one. Lots of talks of bums and things.
I love it.
But also, like the consent one is super interesting, because that's like a big thing, especially for kids, when like how do you police consent with other kids and that sort of thing.
Yeah, cool.
But also their most recent episode, which was the Halloween episode, fun to listen to. Basically talking, because the people who are hosting that one are also mums, so they're basically talking talking about how parents get involved with Halloween and how Halloween's like just kind of come into the classroom. Usually it used to not be a thing.
Well, I like that Halloween's sort of a little bit more of a thing in Australia now.
It feels like it.
It never has been. And I always kind of was jealous that we didn't really have it here. It's still not really for the trick-or-treating stuff, but a lot of people do, you know.
Parties and
dress up and do stuff in the classroom.
Definitely a thing for the older crowd.
Yeah.
Rather than like the kids side of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get that happening.
So that's for the love of teaching.
Cool. I'm going to go next. I took a slightly different take on it. So rather than a podcast about education, I went with one that is education all. So I have picked a podcast called The Allusionist. Now, I'm a writer. I love my words. I love my language. You wouldn't tell it by listening to this podcast because I don't word very well often. But this is an etymology podcast. So it's a funny educational podcast that explores the origins of different words in the English language, the lexicon. It's like kind of a bit of a deep dive. And while it does sound really boring to anybody who's not a super, you know, super into language really, in the host Helen Zaltzman's hands, it's really funny and entertaining, and it's got a lot of humor in it, and it's just funny and educational. So I really like this podcast, and they also have like special bonus eps, which is the Tranquillusionist episodes. So those episodes are designed to play while you're going to sleep. It's deliberately to lull you into sleep but also tell you about some stuff. So I really like that they have both of those. I pick a word that you would like to know more about, and
I'm gonna
go
come right
it.
Out and tell you this is a podcast that I'm very familiar with.
I figured you might be.
I haven't put it on my list because it's not one that I listen to constantly, but I always dip back into this one. And particularly because etymology is one of my favorite things in the entire world.
Yes.
So I will enjoy going back to this one. But I also just wanted to flag that the Allusionist have left their network very recently, which was PRX's Radiotopia. Helen Zaltzman basically said there's a lack of racial diversity, and she's tried to deal with it and bring it up in several different ways, and it just wasn't. So she's like, okay, well, I'm leaving. Fill my spot with a person of color, please.
And have they?
This literally happened like 3 days ago.
Oh, you are on it.
Yeah, so it's hats off to Helen Zaltzman, and I can't wait to listen to more of her stuff.
Well, that's one of the things in one of the more recent episodes. I don't remember what word it was, but it has very negative racial connotations and racial history. And so she got a lot of people of color on to talk about different words in the lexicon that are not considered racist anymore, but they have such horrible it's the term ghostwriting. Listen to the ghostwriter episode. It's really good. And the other one that I really liked as well is a very recent one. She goes nightmare for Halloween. So anyway, pick a word that you like and have a bit of a listen and be educated. Nick,
yeah,
what
get
have you
educated.
Got?
Well, I was certainly educated by this podcast, which is TED Talks Education. This is essentially, if you've seen TED Talks, this is basically extracts from particular talks that involve specifically talking about education, educational systems, ways that you can teach your kids about like navigating trauma, which is a really good episode. If you get a chance, listen to that one. There's a lot of different voices that come out in this. It's literally only 9 to 15, 20 minutes. It's very short. And I find that it's very much based on selling and talking about specific ideas, and these educators sharing their specific experience as well. So in specifically with the students and trauma, this was in that episode, there's the person that's on stage actually shares the like what had exactly happened to help them navigate that particular sort of trauma. I thought this was super interesting because it's very much it's very fluid. There's not it's not specifically like we're going to talk about schools. We're not going to talk about reading. It's very much we're going to talk about schools, and then it's going to be something this and this and this and this, and it kind of it it is very fluid in just terms of what ideas it's going to share. Also, weirdly enough, I only discovered this a few weeks ago. It actually comes with videos as well, which is really cool. So if you listen to it in a specific podcast app, it'll actually be a video podcast. So
Apple Podcasts, it will be a video correct. Podcast.
Nice.
Yes, I did notice it in Pocket Cast as well, actually, when I went back to
it. Is not available on Spotify.
No.
Boo, get on it, Spotify.
Yeah.
So, well, of course, with these, so it's standard TED Talk format where it's more about people's experiences than...
Yeah. And I think a lot of them sort of show these ideas to the audience and share these particular experiences and kind of interweave that with the what they want to see changed or what is currently changing within educational systems. So, yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, let's do a little bit of a back announce. So, Zane recommended...
For the Love of Teaching.
I recommended The Illusionist and...
TED Talks Education.
Yes, that was Nick's recommendation. Okay, let's go on to our reviews from last week. And I would like to start with Nick's.
Mine...
Yes.
...was The Untold Story Policing. A short podcast that talks about and investigates policing systems in the United States. What did you guys think?
I think the host, Jay, I think he has a really great understanding that his show is going to be tough and angry making and does a brilliant job of lightening the mood without minimizing it. I think as a host, and he keeps asking his producer to do things, but I feel like he'd probably have a big say in that as well. I think there's excellent instincts there in terms of like when he's talking about really dry legal stuff, he calls for his producer to pop a beat under it so that it kind of jazzes it up a bit. And it really does pump the energy up. I was skeptical, but I just think it's a very tight, good 4 episodes. And I think this is an example of a podcast that does not overstay its welcome, that says what it needs to say and gets out of there. And I think that Jay, as a host, has excellent instincts, and the producing team or person also have excellent instincts of how to not make an angry making podcast make you feel despair, but instead feel motivated to do something.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree for the most part. Mm-hmm. JLS is a great host. I will absolutely admit that. You all know me. You've listened to me on this podcast. Right on this protest revolution. I wanted it to go further than it did, and it didn't. So I found this to be a great layperson's introduction to what the actual problems are.
Well, yeah. Obviously, you know a lot more than really looked into it.
Because when I was listening to this, it was like, oh, this is a bit simple. And then I was like, well,
there were quite a few things that I didn't know, even though I consider myself fairly well educated.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I learned these things maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I can't go, oh, well, I already know that, so shut up.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is a really timely and great way to address these issues. This is a great podcast. I would have liked more episodes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think 4 episodes is perfect for it, but I feel like it does lend itself to a few more.
I think there are other topics and angles that you can probably 2 more episodes. I think you could.
Well, most short series are about 6, but I kind of liked with this one that he, like, everything felt like it had, this is going to sound really wanky, but I felt like every episode felt like it had movement to it. Mm. And so the movement carried well through to the 4th episode, but I kind of like the fact that a podcast finishes before I'm ready for it to finish, if that makes sense.
I don't think that movement is content based. I think that's production based. So I think if you had more content for more episodes, you could drive that movement all the way through to 6. But again, like, they're the ones producing it. They're the ones with the content. They made that call. Mm. This left me wanting more. This is a great place to start. And there's definitely a lot more that you can kind of run with, and more available on lots of different platforms. There's a lot of information coming out about police practices, etc., on YouTube and on other podcasts. But this is a great place to start.
Cool. All right. I would like to go next because I want to.
Yeah.
Strong.
The podcast that I recommended was called I Spied. It was of a former ASIO intelligence officer, now comedian Dave Callan, and Nova journalist Michelle Stevenson, basically talking about his time as a spy. And
before Nick says anything, what Nick's going to say.
Okay.
Can you guess what my problem with this podcast is?
I'm going to see if it's my same problem.
The problem that I had with the podcast, mm-hmm. as the person who recommended it, is that sometimes the humor is really awkward and falls flat.
That I think that might be part of it, but also I really don't like his voice.
Of course.
And usually that's something that I work up into after I listen to a lot of someone. It was immediate with this one. And I was like, oh, no.
See, I didn't like I didn't like her journalistic instincts, but I really enjoyed the podcast. Some of the questions I felt like she was fluffing him up rather than asking the questions I wanted her to ask.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it.
I mean, that's the thing. This is okay from a comedy perspective. I think I didn't really enjoy the information that it got across. So like, it wasn't, if you're going into this looking for insight into ASIO and what have you, I don't think, well, maybe you will, but
there are a few good stories in there that he, like, you can tell that he's done these as bits.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I really had to struggle because, like, yeah, it's funny, but it's not consistently funny. You could definitely edit this down a little bit, I think. And yeah, like you said, like, it's not hard hitting, and she doesn't keep him on topic very well.
I don't think they gel well together. I think I've heard them both do stuff separately, and
I don't think I would hate his voice if he was doing stand-up. I honestly think it's because that is that conversational tone that they set up in this podcast that hit me. And I don't know why. And I don't like it. And I'm very sorry, David. Not Dave. Or did I get that the wrong way around?
No, you're correct. Like, he does call himself Dave, but there was another comedian called Dave Callan. So it's a bit awkward. Because when I first heard, and I was like, Dave Callan was an ASIO? He's not even Australian. but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, this is a perfectly fine show. I think the big thing that I got out of it is that this feels like a... And I did, researching it proves it, but it feels very much like bits for radio.
Mm.
And it's produced by Nova, which is a radio station in Australia, and that's fine. But to me, yeah, David kind of pissed me off a little bit. I think it might have been the voice. I don't know. For me, those two don't vibe. There's a weird energy between them.
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
No. There's a weird energy between those two.
I loved the stories, but I just wish he was telling his own stories.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like
they could have put, honestly, more effort into it. If don't, and Michelle Stevenson, don't take this the wrong way. She needs to be taken out of the picture, and David needs to be given the show himself, and they need to produce the show around him. That's what this should be.
Yeah.
And it's not, because the energy between these two from the go, and I got four episodes in before I was like, no, I've got to check out.
Because I felt like they were going for a dollop vibe, but not even getting a quarter of the way up that slope.
Yeah. And look, I didn't want to say this last week, because when I started listening to it, I was like, these stories are really cool. But I'm actually glad you gave me the opportunity to have the beef before. Because, I don't like their chemistry together. And
it's weird.
And I actually, for me, I thought it was her being awkward with him, but maybe it's just the two of them not.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, she's a bit awkward, because some of the questions she throws at him feel very much like
for a bit that he's already going to say.
It feels,
which annoyed me a little bit.
It feels kind of radio prompty, and this is the vibe that I got. It honestly feels like if you cut this into, you know, how we got seven episodes, if we cut all of his bits and you have 35 episodes out of that, you would have fooled me and said these are just cool radio bits of David phoning into to Nova telling his story.
Honestly, without knowing whether this is what they did or not, I do feel like they just sat down and they recorded it all in one go as well.
Because
you can feel
it
the
is
energy
pretty short
flagging
too,
a little bit towards the end of some of the episodes that I'm at now. Having said that, I still think some of the stories of what ASIO does is fucking mental. And
it's honestly pretty eye-opening. And I mean, this is because it's sort of a product of, I think he said the 80s. Was that when he was working in it? Yeah, the 80s or something like that?
I think so.
There's obviously a few differences to what ASIO is now, but all listening to some of the stories is quite fun. Like, he's got a good way of telling a story. It just, for me, I was like, what are you, Michelle, what are you doing here?
Yes.
And this needs to be produced better. It just felt to me that it's just a radio bit that's put into long form, and it didn't vibe with me. I'm not saying it's bad, because if anyone's like sitting there going, I want to listen to a spy show that's very easy to listen to, this is probably a good start.
Yeah, I mean,
just like knowing what Aussie spies do.
That's a good point. Like, this is a good start for that, because this is probably the only one that I can think of that at least talks about ASIO in a deeper, I say in quotes. Yeah.
In an adult way. In an adult way. It's like, oh, ASIO were there as well. I think I would never say that this is bad. It was weird, and I just didn't get it, or it didn't get me.
I'd like to know what the listeners think. If you guys listen to this podcast, let us know what you think about either the chemistry or the stories or just the whole vibe of the thing, because it'd be interesting to see if it's just us in this room.
I want to know how it's advertised on Nova.
Well, when I looked at it, right, so it's not under Nova's podcast brands. It's actually produced by Diamantina podcast.
Okay.
They call it a DM podcast, is their brand. So I don't know whether that's an offshoot of Nova or whether...
Because I know Nova are going into podcasting now that they've Acast has broken away from Nova.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be
worth having a look up. But, yeah, the podcast network that they're on is called Diamantina. So I don't know whether it's actually from Nova.
Right, just because the show's website links to Nova. So that's why I was just like, oh, and then it says Nova journalist Michelle Stevens. So I'm like,
It might be a subsidiary.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, they do the... Sorry, I just did a quick check of Diamantina. They do the Batuta Advocate podcast and stuff like that. Okay, cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let us then go on to Zane's.
Let's have some beef.
With the delightful title...
Gutting the Sacred Cow, which is basically a film analysis podcast where...
It's not analysis. It's a film dumping podcast. Yeah, and I love that.
Where two comedians, the two Kevins, Kevin Goaty and Kevin Israel, get guests on to tell you why your favorite films are bad.
Look, first off, this title is god-awful. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's a terrible title.
Like, and I know that they're trying to, like... you know, that's what people say, gutting the sacred cow is like destroying something that is revered. Mm-hmm. And I get where they're going with it. But until you told us what it was about, I was just like expecting some doom and gloom terrible. And even their artwork has them literally slicing gutting a cow open. Mm-hmm. And for a podcast that's as fun as it is and as good as it is, in terms of, like, it does what it does, and I really enjoyed it. I just, guys, that name had me creepy crawling. I listened to two episodes. I listened to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, because I hate that movie, and everybody else is like, what do you mean you hate that movie? So it was nice to kind of be on the side of the people who are being like, this is actually terrible. And then I listened to a movie that I know is problematic but I love. So I listened to Dirty Dancing.
It's
terrible, but I love it. And I didn't find myself arcing up as much as I expected to, because I have the knowledge that it is also a terrible movie. If I listen to an episode of something that I genuinely love, I feel like I'd want to break my stereo. The one criticism I do have is that occasionally it feels a bit dude bro-y.
Yeah. Especially when they have male guests on.
Yes, yes. And look, I have no problem with podcasts that just have dudes on it, because some of my favorite podcasts just have dudes on it. But every now and then they, like, in the one I listened to, they were making fun of Forrest Whitaker's eyes. And I'm like, I'm not. And, you know, for a podcast that's as funny as it is, they don't need to do that. They don't need to go into the dude bro territory to be funny. They just are. Yeah, so, like, cut it out, guys. You're hilarious anyway. You don't need to make those jokes.
Yeah. This is... I listened to two episodes. I did specifically go to movies that I knew that a lot of my friends liked and that I didn't. So I listened to Interstellar.
I freely walked into the echo chamber of my choosing.
And I think we've spoken about Interstellar in a pre-show podcast.
Or off mic or something.
Off mic or something like that.
It's
but
terrible.
I think I chose... It's hard because this episode starts off very poorly. Like, I was listening to these two... talking about porn for about 12 minutes with a female guest, Alice Vaughan, who it was just very awkward, and they spoke about how there was like too much Asian porn, and like I prefer, and I'm like Zane, I was like, I was sitting there, I'm like, Zane, what the fuck is this? I was like, damn, this is well, I mean, the weird thing is that after that 12 minutes and after they let Alice start talking and then they start talking to Alice, it becomes really good.
It's the dude bro stuff, just tone down that tiny bit of, you know, locker room talk.
Yeah. And The discussion around Interstellar, and I also listened to Independence Day as well, the discussion around those movies is actually quite interesting in how they tear it apart. I'm like, with Interstellar, when they actually, and Alice Vaughn, actually the guest, is used to be a physicist. So she literally just goes, I'm going to get science and dissect this shit. Brilliant. I'm like, oh, this is, I need to send this to all of my friends just so I can be like, Interstellar sucks ass.
And here's why. Don't listen to the first 12 minutes.
Yeah, put that, well, I'll put a bookmark there. And look, I don't think I'll continue with it. I feel like there might be one or two episodes I want to listen to in terms of like, I want to find a movie that I fucking hate that I know people love.
And I want to know why I can shove it in my friends' faces. Just,
fuck you.
I want you to try and listen to an episode of a film that you adore and see, because I'm going to do that too. I'm going to go try and find a film that I adore. Another thing that I really did like about it is I love their format, where they kind of go through the Metacritic score.
Yeah, guessing, I did like that a lot.
The Rotten Tomato guessing, saying a few memorable quotes from the film. Like, they've got a nice format to it. Just tighten it up with the dude bro talk.
And sometimes their energy was a bit too much cocaine for me. Like,
very early, like morning radio. Like
radio. And I don't think it's to the detriment of it. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
It's dude bro on the toilet in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like Ira and the dude. Yeah.
I don't think that's like a bad thing. And I can understand that having that energy means people are like, oh, well, this is like, there's a lot here. But I'm like, oh my God. My guys, how many lines did you do before you started recording? Holy shit.
Two?
That's two, fine. I mean, if we need to do two, that's fine. I'll do that.
Content-wise and format-wise, yeah. I think it's really good content. Yeah. And I love the concept. I really think
it is good. And I do love how they changed the episode titles being named Does Grease to like Mike Price Bulldozes Batman Returns, like the really clickbaity headlines.
Bill McCurdy expels Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So look, I don't think it's a bad show. I just, there's the dude bro stuff sometimes even gets a lot for me, and I've given you dude bro shows that you fucking hated.
Yes.
And like even this, I was like, whew, this is a lot. But once they actually get into the discussions and tearing it apart, it's a really good
way to break a film down.
It is. It's
to
just
break it into tiny pieces and smash it.
It's a bit different. It's hard for me to say, oh, this is just another movie podcast. I feel like the energy of it plays into that a little bit more as well, where they're just fucking hyper. And they're just like, we're going to shred it. So I dig it. But yeah, that's the start of the Interstellar one was not good.
Despises movie podcasts, which are just people talking about movies.
It's got to have a gimmick.
Yeah.
This got me over the line. It was like, yeah, this is really interesting because you're taking one very passionate stand. And
you're destroying shit that people love. Yeah. And where's no fun?
Well, I don't like destroying things that people love, but I do love Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Yeah. So imagining other people hating it is, yeah.
Look, there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is us done for today. If you would like to have your podcast reviewed, you can send it to us on any of our social medias or go to thatsnotcanon.com/castology and fill out our little form. Let's not forget that Gutting the Sacred Cow was a listener submission.
Absolutely.
So we do review them. Zane will listen to everything that gets sent in. Nick and I may listen to a lot of what gets sent in, but nowhere near as much as Zane. We cannot guarantee that we will put your podcast on the air, but we will definitely listen to it. If you would like to send us a review on Apple Podcasts, that would help us immeasurably. We love that shit. And if you just want to have a chat to us, talk to us on any of the social medias, because we love chatting. That's what we do. That's it. Have I done all our obligations? Have I fulfilled everything?
That's all the things.
Great. Should we have a chat at the end as well? Or
what do you want to chat about?
I don't know.
I just saw a picture of a cat with pepperoni, it said.
So that's delightful.
I'll send it to you guys. It's pretty cute.
My cat loves pepperoni.
Like, do you
cats eat pepperoni?
They're not meant to. They're meant to have, like, they can have a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, my cat loves pepperoni. Like, my cats don't like human food at all, but if there's a pepperoni pizza in the house,
so weird.
They, well, one just kind of goes along for the ride, but but my black cat will just like, I would like some of this, please.
Oh my God.
Giant cat.
My mum's dog is obsessed with human food, but like, my mum has pampered it from such a young age. She was like, here's some chicken breast, but I'll warm it up for you, and here's some cheese, and we'll melt it onto something for you. I was like, you cannot, this is not a good thing to say. You're going to be doing this every day for the rest of its life, and it's going to get upset when you don't do it anymore. It's You're true. Spoiling your fur child. Okay, that's enough chatting.
Just like a real children.
Shut up. God damn it. I've been Liz Best.
I've been Zane Z. Weber.
And I've been Nick Bleeker.
Listen to podcasts and, you know, chat.
History is a fascinating field that is unfortunately massive on a scale that beggars comprehension and is not always easily accessible, especially when we're talking about the complex issues of human rights abuses and government oppression that surround genocides. Here at Genestory, we agreed to do this. We aim to change that. Join me on the 15th of every month as we take a comprehensive overview of the field of genocide studies, the various genocides throughout history, and the representation of genocide in fictional media. Together, we're going to help ensure that never again is more than just a slogan. You can find Genestory wherever you find podcasts.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.